Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Since the fall of 2014, Florida Southwestern State College has presented its Critical Thinking Lecture Series. It generally features community leaders and academic scholars who talk about how critical thinking connects to their fields of expertise. The series continues this Wednesday morning with a somewhat non-traditional session called Gaining a New Perspective, Italy Through Our Eyes. It features a group of FSW students who recently returned from a month-long study abroad in Florence, Italy. While they haven't had years to reflect on the experience yet, we're going to try to get a sense today of how they've been impacted by the experience. I'm joined by Chelly Ramon Martinez. You studied Italian language elementary, right? Education?
Yes, I did.
All right. And we're also talking with Tanner Corson, who studied principles of marketing while in Italy.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Yeah, I bet. I'm so excited to talk about all this. And we're also talking with Marty De La Cruz, who studied Art History 1, Antiquity to Early Renaissance. And what better place on earth is there?
Yes, no better place.
As always, we invite you to join our conversation. Give us a call if you spent any time studying abroad, and let us know how that experience shaped your outlook on the world. The number to call to join our conversation is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCO. So, Chelly Ramon Martinez, studying Italian language, elementary, and education. What did you think over there?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. Just being involved in the whole culture really changed how you learn a language. Taking the class, it was 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. It was very intensive, but it was, being immersed was a big difference.
So were you learning Italian while you were over there?
Yes. Yeah, that's the class I took.
So you parla italiano adesso?
Un poco.
Oh, good. So you got a little bit.
Sí.
So do you anticipate following through and learning the entire language?
I would love to. It's such a beautiful language. It's very musical. It's very similar to Spanish, which I'm not fluent in either, but I would like to become fluent in all three, English, Spanish, and Italian.
That's a goal for me as well.
Yeah.
Spanish is very useful. I've found knowing Italian is limited in its usefulness.
But it's so beautiful to speak. It's so much fun to speak and hear.
I can definitely order at restaurants.
Yeah, me too.
For sure.
Had you ever been to Italy before or overseas at all?
No, it was the first time ever traveling out of the U.S.
So what was the biggest culture shock that you experienced when you were over there?
Oh, my gosh. There are so many different things. There was, walking out of the airport, for instance, and just seeing the mob of people there wanting to get your business going for a taxi and stuff like that in the train system. We don't have the same kind of train system here in the U.S., at least not here in Southwest Florida. And then learning how to take a train, completely speaking a different language. How people just carry themselves is different. It's hard to explain if you don't experience it, but those are some of the biggest things.
Yeah, it's an interesting just diving right in there, and you don't understand the language and you got to figure out how to get around. It's challenging.
Yeah.
Well, what's actually kind of interesting is that the train system and the public transportation works.
Yes, it does. It's so functional, and it's every like 20, 30 minutes you're going to be able to take a train anywhere in Italy or Europe.
It was kind of nice.
It was nice.
Yeah. So what was the big surprise, something that's kind of universal that you found that we share with people in Italy? Like pop culture, maybe references, things
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, a lot of the music that they listen to in restaurants and stuff was English. And a lot of people in the big cities do speak English as well. So that was a big thing.
So when you were in classes, were you in classes with other American students learning Italian?
Yeah, there was a lot of American students, but we also had some other students from different countries as well. One from Zimbabwe,
uh-huh.
And then another one from India. And then my roommate was Colombian. She was from Colombia, and my other one was from Mexico. So it was people from all over the world kind of came to this school to study.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Did you make friends with any of them you're going to keep in touch with?
Yes. Yep. My roommate, Elisa, she is from Mexico, and I'm planning on visiting her soon.
So what was your routine like? So you said you had 4 hours a day of classes?
Yes, I did. So
just learning Italian for 4 hours?
Yes. It was very intensive.
That's a lot. So what did you do with your free time in the other hours of the day?
Well, the school actually had different free activities that you can do with students. So they had different things like taking a boat ride, going to certain markets, doing cooking classes, things like that where you can interact with other LDM students. And there's other activities through the language program I was a part of that we actually got to interact with other Italian students as well. And they took us on tours completely in Italian throughout the city. Like there was a gelato tour, there was a history tour. And then we had to sit down, actually just talk about the differences in education and the lifestyles. And
were you able to get out of Florence at all into Tuscany?
Yes, I did, actually. I got to study. I actually got an opportunity to live with a family for a weekend in Tuscania, which is a small town in Tuscany. And it was absolutely beautiful. No one really spoke English there. And it was such a great experience.
Yeah, those little towns are great. They just dot all over the place.
Yes. Yeah. It was beautiful. It was such a small little pocket culture.
Did you feel like you had culture shock coming back to the United States?
A bit. Yeah, definitely the clothing. What people wear in Italy is so different than what they wear in the U.S. Like, we're very casual here. There, everyone dresses up a lot, you know, just to go out to the grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. You go out and you're like, boy, I just look terrible.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, full makeup, you know, and high heels on cobblestones. Doesn't
matter. I don't know how they did that.
They're still doing that? It's been a while since I've been there. Man, I don't know how they do it. But there was a study that said that women who walk on cobblestone streets have greater life expectancy. You live longer. Something about that balance, I think. I don't know. But I remember hearing about that study while I was over there. So would you recommend for other students to do something like this?
Oh, my gosh,
yes. Do you feel like it was life-changing?
It was definitely life-changing. I completely feel like a different person coming back. You know, I definitely learned, like, the different lifestyle. They're a little bit more slower pace, I feel like, in certain areas. And I've kind of taken that back. I don't have to stress so much about life as I do here. Everything here is, like, very fast-paced, rapid. Everything has to happen, like, right now. So –
yeah, it's funny because they're kind of laid back. But then when it comes to actually getting on the train or bus, you better get out of the way if you're not going to move fast.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, it's just certain areas in which they have no patience.
Exactly.
And what I found interesting is the ability to stand in line for anything. That doesn't really happen. There's never a straight line of one person behind another one waiting in line to get anything at a store or things like that.
Yeah, it's always kind of a little staggered.
Yeah.
And spread out, yeah.
Each man for himself. We're talking to a group of students from Florida Southwestern State College on today's show about their time spent studying abroad in Florence, Italy. They'll be sharing their experiences this Wednesday morning at 11:30 at FSW's Fort Myers campus during the next session of the college's Critical Thinking Lecture Series. If you'd like to ask them a question or to make a comment, give us a call now. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. And now I'm going to turn to the marketing man, Tanner Corson. You studied principles of marketing over in Italy.
I did, yes.
How would you compare marketing in Italy to marketing in the United States?
Oh, it's vastly different. When compared to locals here, there's not as much brand loyalty as there is in Italy. So local Italians, they have their brands that they like and the brands that they don't like, and they just use those all the time, certain restaurants that they always go to. So it's definitely a different marketing environment than in the United States.
Well, it was interesting. Chelly was talking about the things that she was doing. It was almost like the entire country was marketing itself to her in her off hours.
Yes. So Italy is a very big tourist country. So a lot of their revenue does come from tourism. And so they do market a lot towards tourists. They can tell – who the tourists are and who the locals are, and they market accordingly.
Especially in Florence.
Oh, definitely in Florence and Rome.
Oh, yeah, Rome is definitely. And Milan. The big cities, you
yes.
know. And where the tourists end up
yes.
in large concentrations, of
yes.
course. So tell me a little bit about your studies that you've done before leading up to going here.
I've taken two marketing classes in high school. This is my first marketing class in college. I'm actually going for a marketing degree, so it was my first kind of taste of what I'm going to be doing for the next 3-4 years. And that was really special because I'm not going to be able to get the same marketing education here that I did in Italy because, like I said, the marketing environment is so different. So it was a very good way to get a different perspective that I couldn't get here.
Yeah, it sounds – so did you do 4 hours of class every day too?
Mine was 4 to 6:30, so 2.5 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it was experiential learning and
– yes.
Things like that?
Yeah.
So what did you think? Had you been out of the country before?
I've been to the Bahamas and I've been to Belize. The Bahamas was mostly a vacation, so it wasn't really culturally immersive. But Belize, we lived right next to the locals, so that was kind of cool. But
it's easier to do there because they speak English.
Yes, they do speak English there. But it was definitely a different experience living with the locals. That was something very special too.
Yeah. So how is your Italian now? Did you learn any Italian?
Not much. Whenever I did have to use whenever someone didn't speak English, I would kind of throw out a little Spanish and they would most likely understand.
And isn't it funny? And every time somebody speaks another language, you just default to the one that you know a little bit of?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just assuming that because they're not speaking English, they might get Spanish.
Yeah, well, it,
but Spanish
language
is close to
Yeah,
Italian.
They're very similar. So like a lot of the words were similar. So like just going to the grocery store, and if they don't speak English, then I could just say – ask them like how much does this cost, and they could tell me. And so just like simple things like that.
When it comes to price of goods, they're pretty good at breaking down those. you studied marketing over there. I mean, this is a place that kind of famously markets itself in many ways as a leader in art and culture. They've done it through the eons. It's called Una Bella Figura. It means putting on a good face. Like that's kind of what they do. And I found that reached all the way into storefronts because you'd see like a beautiful display in the window front and it just looks incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And you walk in the store and it's kind of Spartan. There's like a couple shelves and some boxes. None of the really pretty stuff. You don't – did you see that too?
Yeah. So there was marketing everywhere on metros, on literally everything for this one brand called Calcedonia. It was I think it was a swimsuit brand. And
they do socks and pantyhose, and then they've gone into swimming suits too. Yeah.
So like that's pretty much – it was beautiful beaches, beautiful women on all the advertisements. Yeah. And then you go into the store and it's just like any other store. It's just like a Ross or something like that.
I know. Yeah. I know Calcedonia. And you go in and there's just like stacks of different things that are in packages. You can't even take them out of the packages to look at them.
To try them on or look at them. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But it's a beautiful ad. And then the whole front, you walk in and it's like, oh, this is going to be the greatest store ever. And you walk in and there's just like stacks of packages of undies or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I found that really interesting. I think that would be – I don't know if that would work here in the United States as a marketing style.
I really don't think it would. I honestly have no idea why they would do that except for maybe reducing prices on like inventory so they don't have to get people to take them out of the packages and fold them up and stuff. But I mean that's kind of a big – decider when you're getting clothes is looking at them and trying them on and stuff. So I still don't understand that.
Yeah, I thought it was strange. Did you see a difference in what sells a product there versus here?
Definitely for tourism. A lot of tourists, they like to when they go to a new country, their main concern is not either getting ripped off or not getting like cheated out of what they think they should get. So you definitely have to advertise exactly what the person's going to get, how much it costs, just so that they don't feel as if like they're about to get cheated out of their money. Or because when you go to a country and you don't speak the native language, it's easy to get misled.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
But as far as what sells to the population there, I'm wondering, you know, like the beautiful beaches at Calcedonia and their ads, I wonder if that would be something that would sell as well to an American audience.
Yeah. I don't know because I know from Southwest Florida we have beautiful beaches here. So,
we already got that, yeah.
So like when you see an ad with a beautiful beach, you're like, oh, that could be just down the street. You never know.
Yeah.
But definitely the beaches that are in the ads are not like the beaches that are actually there. So maybe it would work a little bit more just for dramatization, you know?
Yeah. Making it look extra special.
Yeah.
That Bella Figura, like a beautiful figure going – that's the thing. That was kind of something throughout the history, throughout the Renaissance. They would make sure that they always had one good outfit.
Yes.
And make it one good look so that they look like they were prosperous, whether they were or not.
Yeah. A lot of – even today, I mean, they're obviously – they have multiple outfits sometimes. But a lot of – I was talking to some of the local Italians. They have one outfit that they spend a lot of money on. Like they go and they get like to a designer brand. They spend a lot of money on that one outfit or a couple outfits, and that's mainly what they'll wear to social events and stuff.
Yeah. And that's their go-to for several years.
Yeah.
And when you spend the money, it might last that long.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to the disposable clothes that we kind of consume over here. Tell me what your biggest culture shock was when you got there.
Well, I got there a day early compared to everyone else. I think almost everyone else flew into Florence. I flew into Rome and took the train from Rome to Florence. So getting off a 14-hour plane ride when I hadn't slept for 20-plus hours and trying to figure out the train system was definitely a culture shock.
Yeah, no kidding. You feel kind of lost.
Yes.
You feel vulnerable too.
Yes, because there were so many people coming at you with different offers. Hey, I got a taxi here. Hey, I got a bus ticket here. Got a train ticket here. And I really didn't know what to do.
Yeah, it's kind of a aggressive selling.
Yes, but it was very easy to get used to it after the second time of doing it. I was fine.
And it seems to be mainly in those major transport areas.
Yeah.
Did you have any issues like that anywhere else that you went in Florence, or was it mainly in like the main station?
I only had the issue because I think it was because it was so close to the airports. They knew tourists were there. I didn't really get advertised very much in other train stations at like Florence or Pompeii or anything. It was mostly Roma Termini, which is like the biggest central hub for Italy. So, yeah.
So you flew into Rome and then you had to deal with a train to get up to Florence.
Yes.
But then you mentioned Pompeii. So does that mean that you traveled around the country also?
Yes. So we were there for a month. So that's obviously not a lot of time to experience Italy. Mm-hmm. So every chance we got, we went to a different place. Every weekend we went to somewhere different.
Where'd you go?
We went to Venice.
What did you think of Venice?
I actually liked Venice. It was very pretty. It wasn't what I expected. I thought the canals were going to be bigger. There was like one central canal that was really big, but the other ones were really small. And then it was really weird because it was mostly like houses. Like there wasn't like – there was like some strips with businesses on them, but a lot of them were – a lot of the places were like apartments and stuff, so that was kind of odd.
They're all Airbnbs now.
Yeah.
Like there are very few people that actually live there anymore.
Yeah. But then there was the bus ferry transport that we used to get all over the island. So that was really I liked that a lot because it was just so simple getting everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. The buses that were boats.
Yeah,
the boat buses. I think there's a word and I've forgotten it. It's been a long time since I've been there. So, what did you think when you came back to the United States? Does it kind of change your perception? Does it make you think differently about how you're approaching things in the United States or how the United States approaches things?
Oh, definitely. As Charlie was saying earlier, their way of life is just so slowed down. I felt like I could have a conversation with almost anyone. If you made eye contact, like you can have a conversation with them and you could carry that conversation on for an hour if you wanted to. Here, it's kind of like bang, bang, bang. You get what you want across, and then that's kind of the end of the conversation.
Did you notice as much dependence on social media and people staring at their phones all the time over there?
Definitely not. Not at all. When people were walking places, they were talking to their friends, not sitting staring down at their phones. Yeah, no, not at all. Like if you went to the library, people were actually studying and reading, not sitting on their phones. It was definitely a different social media culture.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting too, and that would impact how things are marketed
Definitely.
There versus here.
Definitely.
Because a lot of the focus on marketing classes are probably going to be on social media and that kind of thing.
Yes.
So it's kind of old school.
Yes, it's the marketing environment in Italy is very old school. It's very personal.
Yeah, one-on-one. Well, I'm joined today by three Florida Southwestern State College students who recently spent time studying abroad in Florence, Italy. We're exploring how spending time as a student in another culture can broaden one's perspective. These students will be among those sharing their experiences this coming Wednesday, July 18th, during the next session of FSW's Critical Thinking Lecture Series. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call now. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So Marty De La Cruz, I'm going to turn now to you. We're talking about art history, antiquity to early Renaissance, doing that over in Florence. What better place is there on the earth?
There is no better place than Florence. I mean, that's where the Renaissance was pretty much born, you know, and we got to learn about the Medicis and all the history in there. It was amazing.
Yeah. Tell me a bit about yourself and your studying leading up to going to Florence.
Well, I'm an art major and I've had previous experience of working in galleries and living in the Art World Gallery, which is a pretty known gallery of the place.
I've heard
this.
Of it.
Yeah. before going to Florence, I had, you know, no experience of that place and I didn't know what I was going to get to experience. And so it was totally different. Like my expectations were totally blown away.
Did you had you studied art history though before going?
No.
It was so you hadn't really looked into the old.
No. It was my first art history course.
Wow, yeah. Baptism by fire is what we call that. So did you go to the Uffizi Gallery?
Yes. The Uffizi was one of our last visits, and I really loved the experience just because I got to go to different museums and stuff. But I had a professor that you know he walked around with us and he told us what everything was and stuff like that. And I liked that experience more than going by myself to a museum and not knowing what things were, you know.
Did this kind of change your perspective on art too?
Yes, totally. When I came back, I was so I had so many ideas, you know, and I wanted to start creating right away. The next day when I got off the plane, I started making canvases and stuff to start painting and stuff because I'm a painter as well. So.
Was there an artist that really inspired you out of the group of Renaissance painters? I mean, we don't have a patron of a Medici to fund all the canvases, but I mean, as far as the artists that you saw there on hanging on the walls, is there one that stood out to you?
Well, Piero della Francesca, for sure. I got to see one of his portraits of one of the main. I don't even remember his name, but yeah, it was very surreal to get to see it in person and get to see all the paintbrush strokes and all that in person.
And the vibrance of the colors, that was pretty staggering for things that were that old.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they're definitely restored and everything, but it's still, you know, getting to see that in person, it's very surreal. Sure.
I wonder a little bit about the pigments and how they were able to last. I mean, they've been restored and cleaned up, but they haven't been repainted, you know? So, I mean, those colors are incredible. And I loved Caravaggio.
Yes.
Did you see any of his?
I didn't get to see any Caravaggio, but I got to see a lot of Botticelli, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Leonardo da Vinci and other painters.
Do you feel like other, you know, people who
just
paint stuff,
you know, important people? Yeah.
they're kind of a big deal.
Yeah, kind of. You think?
Did it change your perspective in the way that you look at modern art, or the way that, I mean, I know that you said that you want to kind of incorporate some of the things that you saw from the Renaissance masters that you could maybe incorporate or start to learn how to do with your own artwork, but does it change maybe the way that you look at the entire art world, knowing, you know, some of the seeds of where it,
yeah.
I mean, it didn't begin there, obviously it began before.
Right. But. No, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Now for sure, when I look at a piece of art, I look at the influence more than just the painting itself. I look at, you know, if I look at, for example, a portrait, I tend to look more at, you know, the way it was painted, their pose, and how that was influenced by the Flemish school of art and all that, and how the Renaissance really got to influence the way we look at portraits and all that. Yeah. Yeah, I know, I do get to.
Well, you studied antiquity to early Renaissance. That, right. Was that the course that you took there?
Yes.
How far into antiquity did you go?
Really far. Like, we started with really, really early Egyptian art, and, mm-hmm. you know, we got all the way through early, early Renaissance. We didn't get to all of it. But.
Well, what's pretty amazing to me about the early Renaissance is that there it was right after the Middle Ages, and the difference in style between the Middle Ages art. The way that people were presented as more of an idealized
version.
A human figure, like that, what the baby Jesus is about the size of a full-grown person.
Right, right.
That looks like a, you
they
know,
were
remember?
Little men.
Yeah,
yeah.
I always remembered, I remember when I learned in art history, I was like, why did they do that? But it was because of the importance of that figure.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah, we didn't really get to real babies until Filippo Lippi, which is kind of crazy, Yeah, it was definitely culture shock.
It was quite a turning point. And there you are learning about all this for the first time
right.
in a place completely different and unfamiliar. What did it feel like being totally immersed? I mean, the culture, I don't want to say they still act like they're in the Renaissance time, but they are, you know, the Italians are very proud of the heritage
they
that
are.
They have.
They are, and they should be. I mean, they have so much history. We always used to tell, I get to meet two Italian people when I was there, and we got to hang out a couple of times, and they used to ask us, like, oh, what do you think about us? Like, and I always used to say to them that I think they're so fancy. Like, even in the way they talk, the way they dress, they're so fancy, they're so over the top. Even if they don't want to be, even where they're just being casual, I feel like they're so fancy.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dramatic hand gesture speaking.
Yeah, that's the only way. Yeah. They are, like, their gestures and all, just the way they talk.
Well, you've been doing the hand gestures, too. You picked up some of this. I'm not going to accuse you of doing a fake accent a la Madonna or something. But so what was the biggest culture shock that you experienced when you were on the ground? Do you remember, do you have a story of, like, something just completely blowing your mind? Well, other than the entire experience.
I don't know if I do. I mean, it hasn't sinked in yet for sure. Like, I still have a lot of experiences that I haven't looked back on. But definitely just speaking Italian to Italians, that was definitely something
so
special.
Now, you didn't study language while you were over there, but you are studying Italian?
I'm not studying Italian, but I do know Spanish. So I did get to pick up a lot in the language, and just going to places, I would speak a little bit of Spanish and they would understand me. And then I used to speak Italian while I was on the streets and stuff. So
well, that's pretty cool.
I was like, ciao, capisco. You know?
And it's funny because whenever you can understand what people are saying and then you try to speak and then you always want to talk really quiet because just in case I don't say this right, maybe you won't actually hear it.
Yeah, right.
I do the same thing. So do you feel like you came back changed in any way?
Yeah, no, I definitely feel like I'm more assertive, and I tend to go more for what I want more now. I don't know. I'm definitely changed. I'm a different person.
Being able to function in a different country when you don't completely have a handle on the language is one of those things that kind of can bring some serious confidence.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely feel more confident, and I feel like I can conquer the world in a sense. Yeah, that's definitely cliche, but
Italy's good for that.
Yeah.
It is good. So what kind of things do you think that you want to share with people at the Critical Thinking Lecture Series that you're going to be putting on with your other students?
Well, I'm definitely going to talk about my experience of studying art in Italy and how it was learning about the culture from this amazing place.
Mm-hmm. So when you were in school, how many hours a day did you spend in this?
It was three hours.
Three hours a day?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other students in the class, were they all American?
No, it was an international school. So we got a lot of people from everywhere in the country, in the U.S., and also a lot of people from Mexico and different places.
So the school was called Lorenzo de' Medici?
Yes.
And it specializes in these month-long study abroad things, or do they do other things? Do you know?
They do other semesters as well. It's generally like a regular college. So they have the spring semester, the fall semester, and then they have the two mini summers semesters, so the summer A and summer B. We did the summer A, so that's like the beginning of June.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is through the college?
Yes.
Would you go back and do it again?
For sure. Yeah. Now I'm looking – I'm actually moving to Tampa really soon, and I'm going to USF. And now I'm for sure looking into their study abroad program for Paris. I'm definitely going to Europe for sure again.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Chelly, would you go?
Oh, definitely. I would go back in an instant.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was an amazing experience, and now it just kind of gave me a global view of what the world can be like. You know, we're so sheltered here in the U.S. We're such a big country. We don't see, you know, different cultures, different people speaking different languages. And Europe is like so many smaller countries, so close to each other, that everyone has experienced a multitude of different cultures. So now knowing that that's a possibility, I can't wait to like explore the world.
Well, it's interesting how having the perspective of being on your own in another country kind of helps inform, you know, the way that you would view other people coming to our country that speak another language that don't maybe speak English very fluently, and how different it is for people coming to visit here.
Oh, definitely. Especially people that immigrate to the U.S., you know, that don't speak English, say they spoke Spanish or Italian, how difficult it really is, how much confidence you have to be able to come to a completely different country and try to pick up a language that you don't know. And, you know, try to immerse yourself without being, you know, like an outsider, because you want to kind of blend in.
It can really kind of have an impact on you going forward in the way that you view other people. Did you find that to be the case as well?
Yeah, I definitely did. So just living there for a month, we kind of just scratched the surface. You know, if I were to live there for longer, I would have definitely had to adapt to the culture more. Just going there and not knowing was probably the hardest part. But then the like progression of learning the culture and getting more adapted to it was starting to set in after that month. That first like 2 weeks was definitely the hardest part, though.
Yeah, the first 2 weeks is always the hardest. It was tough. Yeah, the first 2 weeks are really different. So, what do you think that this kind of an experience can do for a person as far as their critical thinking skills?
Critical thinking skills, definitely more self-reliant and stuff like that. You're able to better plan things as you get into another country, because when you don't know the language and stuff, you have to have a hold on the situation that you're in at all times, or things could not go your way. So definitely analyzing situations, critically thinking about what you have to do next and stuff like that, it was very important. But yeah, self-reliance is definitely something that I think we all picked up on, because just having to be in a different country and not really knowing what's going on, you really have to be able to make executive decisions for yourself.
Don't you feel kind of like a little bobber floating around in a pond?
Oh, definitely.
When you're there?
Yes.
And then you start to kind of, okay, now I understand which way the water's going to go.
Yeah.
And you can kind of go with the flow a little bit.
Yeah, no, definitely. The first couple of weeks I kind of like made it a mission, like, okay, don't worry about what's going on. Just go with the flow, adapt to the culture, you know. And it definitely helped going in there with a mindset like that, not thinking about what it's like in America that's different. Just going and immersing yourself in the culture and not overanalyzing everything was definitely a big help.
Yeah. Shelly, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about language and language history over there in Italy. So you were studying the Italian language. Did they tell you anything about the formation of the Italian language?
What I learned was Italian, they had so many different dialects from everywhere, and they still speak different dialects everywhere in Italy. You know, go an hour in any direction is completely different. But how they picked the current Italian, like, national language that they have, I believe was actually they tried to find the most beautiful one, which actually was in Florence from Dante's Inferno, the Italian that he wrote it in. Mm-hmm. Is the one that they actually chose for the national language because they thought it was the most beautiful. So they didn't go with the one that was most widely spoken, but they went with the most beautiful dialect of Italian that they had.
Well, it also ended up kind of being the most widely spoken because the Bank of Siena was the first bank. And if you have the money, that's the language people are going to speak.
True.
Right?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's interesting how they ended up doing that. And, you know, they did that back in the 1800s.
Yeah, so not that long ago.
I mean, we were having a civil war at the time that they were unifying as a country.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that shocking?
Yeah, I mean, with so much culture there, you would think that they were so much older and like there's so much culture there, but it was before they even formed as a full country.
Yeah, they weren't unified.
Yeah.
For so long, there were different little nations here, and you had the Savoy, you had the different regions that were just completely different and separated. Did you notice also the difference in their regional food traditions and how you go 30 minutes in one direction, you're not only speaking another dialect, you're having a completely different kind of food?
I could see that when you're in like the smaller pockets, you know, the smaller little towns. But when you're in such like large cities, you know, like Florence and Rome and Venice, there's so much tourism that they all are very similar where you go if it's a tourist area. So if you want to get something more authentic, you have to go out, you know, out of the inner city parts and then find, you know, better food that way. But yeah, you could definitely tell a difference in the food, the pizza, the lasagna. Like I tried lasagna in Venice and it was not as good as it was in Tuscany.
Yeah, so no. The place to go for the lasagna is Bologna, which is in Emilia-Romagna.
I didn't get to go there.
That's the originator. And as they do it, lasagna is different from region to region. If you go all the way down south, they'll put in cut up hard-boiled eggs and hunks of prosciutto.
Oh, wow.
Into their lasagna. Completely different.
So, yeah, and same with the pizza, too. I mean, the pizza is different everywhere you go.
It's so interesting. Although there is no pizza home delivery.
Yeah. Oh, no, there is not. There's no pizza home delivery. You don't share a pizza with other people, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. You have a whole pizza to yourself. You cut it yourself. The whole culture of eating was completely different because they had, you know, they had appetizers, the aperitivo, and then they had like the first plate, second plate, and the first plate's usually the pasta, then the second plate is usually the meat. So we're not used to having to order completely separate things. We usually used to just ordering one meal and getting it all.
And did you feel ever like, I can't believe they're letting me sit at this table for this long to consume all this?
Yeah,
and
they don't always have to ask.
They don't want you to they're not there to turn the tables.
Correct.
Because they're not tip dependent. Because you have to pay the cover charge to be there, right? So it's not – they don't have the tipping system like we have. So you could sit there for hours and just have course after course. Did you do that?
No, I did not because I still had that American mindset that I sit here for an hour, I eat what I eat, and then I leave.
It's hard to get over it.
Yeah, you have to ask for the check if you want it because they're not going to bring it to you willingly, not usually, because they're used to people just sitting there having an espresso after dinner or something along those lines.
So. They do charge you for water, which I found odd.
Yeah, they do charge you for water, and you very rarely get ice cubes. Yeah.
It's like ice was non-existent.
I know.
In air conditioning.
I always joked a Manitowoc salesperson with the ice machines would be very disappointed in that country. But again, with the history, that's because they believed your digestive system is like a little oven, and putting ice – water or cold beverages on what you're eating is just going to slow down your digestion and just will mess you up.
Interesting.
Yeah. Huh. It's an interesting – well, it goes back from the Renaissance times, and that's how they had the different order of foods. It's one of the things that I got to study while I was over there. So it's so fun to talk to you guys and hear about the different experiences that you had and the foods and all that kind of stuff. It was great. Did you, Tanner, find the food – culture to be interesting?
Definitely. Like you were saying, you can go to one part of the country and have a completely different dish than the other part. Like I can go to – when I was in Florence, I can get a a pasta dish, and then we went up to Cinque Terre, and I had a seafood pasta dish that I couldn't find in Florence. And then I went down to Pompeii, and I had a pesto pasta dish that I couldn't find in Florence. It was just completely different everywhere.
Yeah, they all have very specific things, and then they also have specific languages that go with it. And it's,
yes.
It's really interesting, the difference in the different places. Marty, what was your favorite thing?
Pizza and gelato.
Pizza and gelato.
For sure, yes. Mango gelato is so amazing. And pizza was so different from what I'm used to, because pizza here is, you know, greasy Domino's kind of thing. And over there, it's just like this mass with, I don't know, sauce and cheese. But
yeah.
It's so good.
Really
it's really
simple.
Good.
Really
very
simple.
But good. The products, the individual products making that pizza are great.
Every ingredient. Like we took cooking classes while we were there, and I still know some of the recipes, but there's no way I could replicate how good those dishes turned out just because it's not possible to get some of the fresh ingredients that we had available to us. It's disappointing in a way.
I know, because there's a different demand for the quality of product,
yes.
Like the individual.
Yes.
It's not necessarily always locally produced, but it's having it available.
Yeah.
And then also a lot of those products, like the bufala mozzarella, those are things that we don't really have that, you know, historic tradition of doing that. And
yeah.
The people that live to milk those buffalo and to make that cheese every time.
Yeah, the biggest surprise to me was the quality of the basil that they had there, because I cook with basil a lot here, and it was nothing like it is there. It was out of this world.
And I want to ask you all, did anybody here ask for a carton to go at the end of your meal at a restaurant?
Never.
No.
You didn't?
No. I was told that they didn't even have that.
They don't.
I think I did at one point, and they just gave me like two plates and they try to make one.
No, I never tried.
You
the
didn't
food was
try
too
to
good. I didn't want to take it home. I just wanted to eat it there. So
I made that mistake. It was so embarrassing. I mean, the waitress looked at me like,
"What are you talking
what
about?
Are you doing? You're going to eat that tomorrow?"
Yeah.
There's not a leftover.
Yeah, no.
That's not a leftover culture. They don't do it.
I think they get offended, too, when there's, like, leftover food in your plate and they take it back. It's like you didn't like their food or something.
Okay, yeah, let me just tell you about my mother-in-law. Yeah. A dinner plate slice of lasagna. I mean, I just – oh, man. There's no way. There's no way. There's so much food. So, Tanner, tell me what you're going to talk about in the thing Wednesday, in your presentation Wednesday. Are you going to talk about the marketing thing or more the cultural differences and similarities and how that kind of informs critical thinking for you?
Well, it's more of a talk about our experience. So I'm going to talk about a lot about the class that I took, like the curriculum that we had. So like going there, my class was a lot of taking notes and then discussing about our own views of each topic, which I really enjoyed because marketing definitely has a lot of different viewpoints that you can have. So that was awesome. And then I'm also going to talk about how going to a different culture like that, it's really important to embrace the culture and not think about how it's different from yours, how maybe you like your culture in some aspects compared to theirs. It's more important to just dive into the culture and embrace that and live it while you're there.
There's a certain level of acceptance.
Yes.
You know, and you don't want to be the cultural imperialist going
exactly.
And saying, well, the way we do things is so much more efficient.
Exactly.
Which, while more efficient, we have a lot more heart disease.
No,
I'm just joking. I want to thank you guys all for coming in and talking with me about your trip to Italy. I have fond memories, so I love talking with anybody about any of that, and especially about the food stuff, since that was my course of study. But again, my guests today were Shelley Ramon Martinez, Tanner Corson, and Marty De La Cruz. They will be leading a discussion called Gaining a New Perspective, Italy Through Our Eyes. That's going to be happening this Wednesday, July 18th, beginning at 11:30 a.m. on the Florida Southwestern State College Fort Myers campus. It's part of the school's Critical Thinking Lecture Series, now in its fourth year. I want to thank you all for sharing your stories with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much.
Our show today was produced by Mike and Irie and myself. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.
Lazy Mary, you better get up. We need the sheets for the table. Lazy Mary, you smoke in bed. There's only one man you should marry.
My advice to you would be is to pay attention to me. You'd better marry a fireman. He'll come and go, go and come. Zembala bomba manatena. Si chingapala banda zia de bomberia vigutsania. La la riola vishivrita bakala. We gumba na bombina chajakata. Oh gumba gamme voglio marita. Chomba na vagliotta gamme voglio marita. Chomba na vagliotta gamme voglio marita. Chomba na vagliotta gamme voglio marita. Hey!